This is 1A. I'm Jen White in Washington. You may be stuck inside your home right now, staring at the same walls day in and day out, and you may have noticed a crack or a wall color you never really liked. Maybe it's something that's bugged you forever, or maybe you're just desperate for some change of scenery. Stay-at-home orders have made a lot of us reconsider our space. According to home services website Porch.com, 76% of Americans have started at least one home improvement project since the beginning of the pandemic. Google searches for home improvement work are up almost 50% from this time last year. But before you grab your hammer and go full DIY, let's talk to some experts. With us is Danny Lipford, host of the nationally syndicated television and radio show, Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford. Danny, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, so glad to be with you. Looking forward to it.
Also with us, Andrea Monith Schumacher, principal designer at Andrea Schumacher Interiors. Welcome to 1A.
Thanks for having me.
And we also have Sharman Kader, chair of the board of directors at the Environmental Design Research Association and an architecture designer and researcher. Sharman, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's really nice to be here.
So, Danny, it may seem obvious, but why are people taking on so many home improvement projects right now?
Well, certainly, I think everybody has that rainy day list or that list of things that they would love to do to their home if they have enough time. And now suddenly, you know, so many people have a lot more time to work with, and they're moving forward with some of these things. And like so many home improvement projects, once you take on one and you get that gratification and you feel good about it, then you're wanting to take on something else more and more. So now that there's the time available, then they're able to tackle a lot of these projects.
Well, that sounds a lot like Andrew Roberts, who tweets, "I started a COVID-done list of completed home projects. They've become increasingly ambitious as I finish less challenging ones. 14 projects down, from landscaping to hanging art to fixing doors to refinancing the house. About to take on a living room remodel." Andrew, that's quite an ambitious list. Good for you and good luck. Well, sales for hardware stores like Home Depot and Lowe's are up dramatically. We got this Vox Pop from a listener in the home remodeling business.
Hi, my name is Jill Huckleberry. I'm a project manager for Mosby Building Arts in St. Louis, Missouri, and I've been with the company for over 16 years, and I have actually never seen anything like this. When this first started happening in March, I was fearful of losing my job because I didn't think people would want to be in their house, but the exact opposite has happened, and our backlog is bigger than it's ever been in the 16 years that I've been with this company. We've outdone our sales tremendously, so It's crazy, but everybody wants a better house now.
Well, Andrea, this may be one of the few industries actually doing well right now. How have you seen COVID impact your business?
Yeah, we are busier than ever as well. In fact, we're backlogged about 6 months on the waiting list. And it's just, you know, everybody's staring at their walls, wanting it to be more beautiful.
Danny, what about you? Have more people been reaching out with questions about how to improve their homes?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, with our radio show and our television show, we certainly have gotten more emails than ever before. But, you know, it seems like they're really getting down to some real detail. I mean, they are engaged. They're in the middle of projects, and they just want an opinion on which way to go. That's one of the things over the years with all of the information that's available on the internet. Yes, there's a lot of information out there, a lot of opinions out there, and it seems like homeowners are really looking for a way to cut through all of that and get one opinion on exactly how to progress on some of the projects. So we're definitely seeing a big increase from that standpoint.
Well, Sharman, as we're spending more time at home, I think it's caused a lot of us to think about how the space around us affects us. How much does our environment and our space affect our lives?
Well, it has a significant impact. Our built environment has always a significant impact on human psychology. So we are stuck in our home for a long period of time. So there are some people who may be getting out. That's good. some people who are not getting out of their home. And it has a tremendous amount of stress level. It can switch their mood. And also it has impact on their sleep habit even. It might going to interrupt their circadian rhythm. So and how they're communicating. It has a significant impact. The built environment has always a significant impact.
Well, Julie Holm tweets, "We are blessed to have a family property jointly owned, located far away on a mountain in rural Pennsylvania. In addition to giving us a nice pandemic-friendly vacation this year, we spent a good deal of the summer prepping and repainting the front door and porch." You know, Sherman, I'm wondering, how therapeutic is home improvement?
Home improvement is definitely definitely is very essential these days. And of course, the therapeutic considerations, that will bring more more help in human psychology and human health. For example, I think it is very important to declutter the furnitures or any spaces. The more space you have inside the home for walk or for yoga, and even if you have any outside spaces like garden, those spaces will be very helpful.
That's Sherman Kader, chair of the board of directors at the Environmental Design Research Association and an architecture designer and researcher. Also with us, Andrea Monith Schumacher, principal designer at Andrea Schumacher Interiors, and Danny Lipford, host of the television and radio show Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford. Danny, what types of projects are you seeing the most right now? What are people focusing on?
Well, I'd say, and no doubt about it, the outdoor living space and developing those spaces has been a very, very strong trend over the last few years. And with this pandemic and the available time, it's just ramped up even more. And I think one of the things about outdoor living space that's appealing to people to tackle is that you can do it in phases. You know, you can go out and you can put your pavers down and immediately you are able to use that outdoor living space. And later you think, well, a water feature would be nice. So suddenly you have a water feature and the wireless speakers so that you have music. And so I think the stages and the phases that people can do outdoor living areas is one of the reasons. And there's just something in these times that's very comforting to get outside. So if you're able to spend more time outside with your family, it just feels healthier and it gets you out of that cabin fever a little bit from being inside so much.
Well, Jordan took on a pretty ambitious outdoor project. He posts on Facebook, "We put in a duck coop, veggie garden, and most importantly, a 15-foot tall play structure for our kids, which includes an 8-foot climbing wall, fireman's pole, and a zip line. It's been a hit, and we didn't miss going to the park all summer." Kind of want to hang out at your house for a bit, Jordan. Sounds like fun. Andrea, what about interior changes? What are you hearing the most from people?
I'm finding a lot of people actually are shuffling around. So a lot of real estate transactions are happening where people are coming from the city and going to the suburbs for larger spaces and then complete remodels going along with that. I'm also finding people trying to repurpose rooms so that they have separate spaces. So people taking a bedroom and turning it into an office, et cetera, so that they then, you know, because the noise can be 4 people are at home, 2 kids are Zooming, 2 parents are working. Everyone needs their own space, so there's a lot of shuffle.
Hmm. You know, Danny, one thing we have to acknowledge is the fact that home improvement can be expensive, and many people may be struggling with financial instability right now. What kinds of concerns over cost are you hearing when people take on these projects?
Well, certainly that drives a lot of the projects that they choose. Certainly, you know, paint projects is very inexpensive materials, but a big bang for your buck from that standpoint. But it's also, I'm hearing from people saying, you know, I haven't spent $100 at a restaurant in the past 6 months. I have extra money from that. We had to cancel our vacation. I got my deposit back. Hey, I decided to remodel my bathroom. So there's certain and our concerts, you know, I love to go to concerts. Well, that cost a lot of money to do. Now, all of a sudden, that money's available. So I'm hearing that from some people that they're just reallocating the money that they already had planned on spending elsewhere. And certainly, I hate that about restaurants. I wish everybody could get back out there as soon as possible to start spending money in the restaurants and support that industry more, because they're probably suffering more than anybody. But that is where I'm hearing a lot of people having that money that they didn't expect to have. Mm.
And Sherman, when we're talking about interior changes, you know, what are you hearing about costs there? Because that you can rack up a pretty hefty price tag pretty quickly.
Yes, of course.
Go ahead, Sherman.
Yes, so there are some suggestions about the environmental change that I would like to mention. For example, for thinking about the health of the users or the family, we really need to create some like breakout rooms in the home space or any apartment. Doesn't matter how big the home is or how small the size of the house is, but it is very important to allocate a space, which is a breakout room, and make sure that breakout room you are decorating with nice natural trees. It has enough air circulation, natural air circulation, and also nice view towards the outside. So, and make sure you have the space allocation time, like when the mother is there, maybe the other family members are not using that space, when the children are there. So that's kind of like a private space we need to, I think I would suggest as a researcher. There are other suggestions. For example, make sure the study area for the children, because homeschooling has increased. So the more that space is organized and decluttered and less distraction, the more it is better for the children's psychology. They can learn better and they can focus more.
Let's pause here for a moment. That's Sherman Kader, Chair of the Board of Directors at the Environmental Design Research Association and an architecture designer and researcher. Also with us, Andrea Monitz-Schumacher, Principal Designer at Andrea Schumacher Interiors, and Danny Lipford, host of the television and radio show Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford. In a minute, we'll take some of your questions about how your spaces can better fit your life during the pandemic. Meanwhile, you're chiming in, telling us about some of your home projects. 1978 Pit Fan tweets, "One of our daughters was diagnosed with lymphoma in May. As a result, we built a swing set and added string lighting to our deck since we're mostly homebound." We'll hear more from you and our guests in a moment. I'm Jen White. This is 1A. I'm Jen White. This is 1A. We're discussing the rise in home improvement projects during COVID and how we're rethinking our spaces now that we're in them more often. With us is Danny Lipford, host of the television and radio show Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, Andrea Monitz-Schumacher, principal designer at Andrea Schumacher Interiors, and Sherman Kader, chair of the board of directors at the Environmental Design Research Association and an architecture designer and researcher. We'd also love to hear from you. What are some of the home improvement projects you've been taking on? What questions do you have about making your space better fit your life right now? You can comment on our Facebook page, tweet us at 1A, or send us an email at 1A@WAMU.org. Maureen writes on Facebook, "We remodeled our kitchen in 2017, but I never really had time to enjoy it. I've done so much cooking with my tagine, my ice cream maker, and I even bought a smoker." Again, another house I wouldn't mind swinging by for lunch, maybe when we're on the other side of the pandemic. You know, Danny, we're in this time when a lot of people feel, I think, a bit of a loss of control. Things feel unstable. How does changing our direct surroundings give us maybe a more of a sense of control?
Well, I think that's certainly a big part of it is, and you know, one environment that you truly can control is that one inside your four walls. So to be able to make it your own, put your personality in it, it's like sitting down to a comfort food. You know, it really makes you feel like you're embracing your home, making it warm, making it cozy, making it convenient, and really truly making it your own. So I think there's a lot to be said about that whatever project you're doing, the color that you choose, how much light you have in the home, how you do all of your interior furnishings and so forth, all of that goes back to that warm, fuzzy, cozy feeling that you want in your home. And also, a lot of times it's not unusual to have something that just bothers you all the time. Maybe you drive up in your driveway and the mailbox is a little rusty and, you know, boy, I can't wait till I have some time to get to that. Now you take on those things, and how good does it feel now when you're driving in and out of the driveway and seeing this nice, pleasant a mailbox with a plant beside it and new numbers. So all of that goes to, making people feel more secure and more comfortable around their home.
What would you recommend for renters specifically? Is there a way they can dramatically change their space without getting in trouble with the landlord?
Well, you know, actually, we did one of our episodes on projects that renters can do, and one of them was where a homeowner bought a ceiling fan they wanted to install. Well, they used the ceiling fan, installed it in the bedroom, carefully took the light fixture down, and saved it, marked it, so that when they move, they were able to put that same fixture right back up. Mm-hmm. Also, installing a Wi-Fi-enabled deadbolt lock, as well as a video doorbell. All of these things, again, they took the original lock and they took the original doorbell, put it in a box so that they could reinstall it. So you're getting some of those benefits of improving around the home, and you're not wasting that money because you're going to be able to take that with you when you go to, when you have the opportunity to buy your first home or your next place that you rent. So a lot of that can be done. There's even removable wallpaper out there that you can actually put wallpaper up as an accent wall or maybe as a backsplash and basically peel it off, roll it up, and take it with you.
Andrea, I'd love to hear from you on this too. You know, if you're renting a space and you want to switch things up a bit, what are some quick and easy ways you can do that without permanently changing the space?
Right. And I would echo what he says. I would say you can buy things that you can take with you to freshen things up. You can, you know, freshen up your pillows. You can do a new rug. You can do drapery that you can take with you that absorbs sound in your room when you're on the phone or Zooming. Another thing I would suggest is almost unpacking or packing up your entire home as if you're moving and then unpacking it back into the room and only putting things back in there that you would actually use again.
As someone who recently went through a move, I have to say that sounds a bit daunting, but yeah. Is that a way to just sort of force ourselves to unclutter and be more mindful of what we actually need?
Exactly. If you put it in the box, that means you're going to keep it. Otherwise, it goes in the trash or it's recycled anyway.
Oh, okay. I will take that to heart. But I got to say, it feels like a lot right now. You know, Charmin, in our new normal, and this is something you've talked about a bit, but I think people may be struggling with privacy and dealing with being around maybe their significant other or roommates a lot more. How can you bring more privacy into a space, but also make it aesthetically pleasing?
That in your house, make sure you're allocating a space, which is kind of like a breakout room. You can have like a privacy curtain or like even a shower curtain, so it is visually not connected with other spaces. Also, make sure that it is a little bit distant from the television or the office, home office, so that it has a noise privacy as well, a visual privacy. And it has some beauty or access to the nature. And you can have even relaxing, like aromatherapy, or you can have a music instrument, or you can listen to a nice music.
You know, Andrea, I think there are a lot of people living in a studio or maybe a one bedroom who may be feeling a little bit closed in. What are some interior design tricks to make the most out of a small space?
If you had to split a room in half, what about hanging drapery and separating the room by that? I mean, just thick velvet drapery, even from Target, that would absorb sound and give you your own sense of space. I would do that.
And so, but if we're talking about a small space, would that not make you feel maybe more closed in?
Well, I mean, you can open it and have it be big, and you can close it and have it be your own private space. I'm envisioning a one-bedroom apartment in New York City, and say you had three people living there. Maybe you have to divide off a space for yourself that you can work in that's just yours.
So here's the thing. I have a friend. She lives in New York City. She has a smaller apartment, and she was trying to figure out the best way to partition the room. And she's like, I don't know. Can I hang stuff from the ceiling? Should I put it on rollers? Any advice about how to actually hang that kind of draping?
Yeah, I mean, you can hang rods from a ceiling, or you could even get like a screen, you know, just like a Soji screen or a fabric screen that you even make it yourself. You know, you could buy panels and upholster it and, you know, have it divide the room that way. And also just thinking about sound absorption, I think, is important when you're dividing a room.
Well, I want to mention this from Bob Cart Arts, who tweets. Oh, I'm sorry, Danny, were you trying to jump in?
No, but I certainly think that the acoustics and the soundproofing of homes is another thing that people just love information on those. So those are some great tips that were just shared.
Well, we got this tweet from Bobcat Arts, who says, HVAC pro here, please remember to change your air filters if you've generated a lot of dust with your project. If it's a real big job, consider asking us to come in for a chat first. Just make sure your equipment isn't affected. And Danny, when we're thinking about preparing for maybe a bigger project, maybe it's more than just hanging, you know, some draperies from the ceiling. What are some of the things you need to ask yourself before you get started?
Well, certainly you don't want to get frustrated on a project. Sometimes we might motivate some homeowners with our television and radio show, and they get a little too ambitious. So I can't tell you how many times I've gone out and someone had a wall partially torn down and said, how can I tell if this is a load-bearing wall? Well, you should have thought of that a little bit earlier before you started taking the drywall down. So that's the thing that, you know, baby steps, you know, whether you're putting some ceramic in, you start with a backsplash or start with a small foyer area, but just don't get too ambitious because it can get frustrating and that just ruins it for everybody when you're having that. So, and of course, doing your research, making sure that you line things up just right so that it is a very pleasant experience as you move through whatever project you're taking on.
Well, we also got this post from Melissa on Facebook who says, housing prices are soaring in a lot of places. I think people are looking at how they can adjust their current home to suit their needs instead of having to buy at this point in the market. Andrea, have you heard that from people you work with?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm seeing both. I'm seeing people, you know, moving to the suburbs and spreading out, and I'm also seeing people just revamping the homes they have currently without moving. So I think it's across the board.
And Danny, what about you, especially for these larger projects people are taking on?
Yeah, no doubt about it. The pricing going up and the bidding wars breaking out in certain areas of the country and so forth. But, you know, the other side of that is that means your home is worth more than you might realize. And there lies some equity that you're able to potentially pull from your home to do maybe some more sizable projects. So there's a tremendous amount of refinancing going on with these rates being under 3% is really driving a lot of people there to maybe take a little of that equity and go ahead and tackle some of these projects that they've been wanting to. So that's where some of the money's coming from.
Well, and Andrea, I wanted to throw the same question to you about things you should think about before you take on a home improvement project. Any advice for folks?
I would do your research first and figure out exactly what you want. Make a list of your desires and then do your research on the team you're going to put together, whether you're doing it yourself or you're hiring a designer, architect, and builder. I would definitely interview two or three and find out how they work and their process before you tackle it and before you even buy, maybe, to know the people that you want to surround yourself with. It's a long-term investment, a long-term relationship, and I think it's important to know who you're going to be dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to read a couple of messages we've gotten. Kelly tweets, home improvement has been a way to keep sane and get exercise as I've been working from home. I've painted the front porch, garage, and we just ripped up our carpet. And Judith emails, I hope you at least make an acknowledgement that anyone who is doing home improvement right now is that fortunate subset of people who have a home and are not in danger of losing it due to eviction or foreclosure. For many, many folks, now having a secure home at all is not something to take for granted. Very fair point there, Judith. Thanks for sending us that message. I'm Jen White. You're listening to 1A. And we're talking to Danny Lipford, host of the television and radio show Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford. Also with us, Andrea Monith Schumacher, principal designer at Andrea Schumacher Interiors. We also have Sharman Kadir, who we're going to let go now, chair of the board of directors at the Environmental Design Research Association and architecture designer and researcher. Sharman, thanks for your time. So home improvement isn't just taking place inside the home. Many are turning to gardening right now. Here's Angela from Austin, Texas.
When quarantine started in March, like a lot of people, I turned to gardening. It's peaceful and it's rewarding and it's outdoors. And I decided to, for the first time, try edible plants. I was hooked. Fast forward a few months and I'm knee deep in tomatoes and carrots and green onions and strawberries and spaghetti squash and pumpkins and a bunch of other stuff. So I convinced my husband to put in a 9-foot by 15-foot raised stone U-shaped planter with a deer fence around it that'll accommodate climbing vines. And soon I'll be growing garlic and beans and Brussels sprouts and rhubarb and eggplant and leeks and whatever else, and except for cauliflower. No cauliflower, because yuck.
Angela, cauliflower yuck, gasp, I am deeply offended. But Danny, why do you think gardening is so popular right now?
Well, first of all, I am really hungry right now. I need a big salad, I tell you. I love the enthusiasm of homeowners when, you know, we're taking on projects and certainly gardening. And whether it's gardening to, you know, enhance your existing landscaping or, you know, of course, an extremely popular project is to, you know, improve your landscaping for your curb appeal right at the front door. Such a great way to, you know, lift the spirits and make it a whole lot nicer to see. But then when you get to the point of gardening and you're actually able to grow vegetables, I mean, it's such a rewarding thing. And I'll tell you what, Jen, get the kids involved. I can remember as a young kid, my parents buying me these little seeds, and I would see the picture of that tomato on the front of it. And then I would see these little tiny seeds, and I couldn't figure it out. And then to be allowed to plant that garden and then to watch it and nurture it and then to actually go out and pick that first tomato. I mean, look at me. That was 50-something years ago, and it's still fresh on my mind. And that's where I think, again, going back to the comfort level and just it makes sense. You're not necessarily growing that because you don't have food in the pantry. You're growing it because you have time and it's something that's so gratifying and not a big time user. And it just is so rewarding. I just love to see the kids get involved in it. And certainly, like your caller that maybe is just taking it on for the first time, now she's hooked for life.
Well, here's someone else, Amanda from Kent, Ohio, who's dealing with a lot in her home.
Early in the pandemic, we started to reclaim long forsaken flower beds. We live intergenerationally with my father-in-law. And then in July, he took a major fall and was in the hospital for 3 months. So then our entire shift started to be how to create a new space that would be responsive to his needs. That's in addition to having to set up two home offices, and we continue to try and get those flower beds in shape.
You know, Danny, circumstances change, and we can certainly find ourselves overwhelmed by our projects. Is there any way to avoid that?
Well, I'm not really sure. When you have, you know, generational changes and you have things like that, and I hear so many people talking about their family moving back in with them, even before the pandemic, but with this situation here, you are really looking at full utilization of all space available. So it really makes you step back and look, what can we do to accommodate another bed? How can we handle, you know, being able to schedule things in the kitchen and laundry room and so forth? So boy, those changes like that really will move a number of the projects that you might not have been considering right away, right to the top of the list. So that is something to consider. And of course, how long will that type of arrangement where the kids are moving back in, parents moving back in, how long will that last? Is it indefinitely or is it just for a few months until everything clears? So that definitely will motivate a lot of projects that people have on their list.
Well, Andrea, quickly turning back indoors, one thing we're getting a lot of right now is screen time, a lot of Zoom meetings, a lot of TV watching. How can we shape our space to make it easier for us to disconnect?
Great question. And I just want to go back to the gardening thing. It just made me think about, even if you're indoors in New York City, and even just doing potted plants yourself, not just buying them pre-made and actually like getting the soil and planting the seed and putting it in the sunlight. I think it's important to connect with Mother Nature somehow, you know, if you, whether you're, you know, walking through the park or just taking time away from the Zooming because it's just too much. And then, you know, this isn't interior design related, but wearing blue light glasses when you're on the screen, I think is really helpful.
Well, we'll be back in just a moment. We're hearing from so many of you. Leslie tweets, I manage public turn-in of hazardous materials and used electronics, and this has been huge this year with people cleaning up at home. Kathleen tweets, when COVID hit, I started purging from the basement up, donating several carloads of stuff. Now my task is organizing every square inch so my space is mentally and physically comfortable. Organizing blogs, articles, and life hacks have been my go-to searches lately. And Jeff tweets with a tip: bookshelves make great room design. Bookshelves make great room dividers. That's it. We're discussing the rise in home improvement during the pandemic. I'm Jen White. We'll hear more from you and our guests in a moment.
My house.
Let's get back to our conversation about improving our living spaces while social distancing. I'm here with Danny Lipford, host of the television and radio show Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, and Andrea Monith Schumacher, principal designer at Andrea Schumacher Interiors. Let's jump in here with a question from Kate in Boulder, Colorado.
Coronavirus has changed the work that I do. I'm a pet nanny, and I specialize in caring for special needs animals. However, very few people are traveling now, so I don't have much business. I'm going to begin teaching classes for pet sitters about organizing their business. To do this, I need an office, so that's what I'm turning my back room into. I'm getting all the junk out of it, painting it, and hopefully finding some furniture. It's difficult to rearrange the space since I'm not a very good designer. So any tips that I could have from your experts would be very helpful.
Andrea, I'm going to come to you first. Any tips for Kate here?
Sure. First of all, buy what you love and buy what you need. So I would say if you need a desk, that would be one of the first things you look for. And then I think, a sense of humor in your home is important. So find something that when you look at it makes you laugh a little. So I would just write a list of your necessities first, and then, arrange your room maybe so you're looking outdoors, so you're looking at Mother Nature. And again, buy what you love, so things that you make you laugh.
Danny, what about you? Any guidance for Kate?
Well, first of all, I think that's great that what Andrea is saying there exactly. I think she'd be fun to work with on an interior project like that. Acoustics, lights, very important. And, lights and light fixtures are something that you really need to think about. It's amazing the difference in the LED lights and the different color temperature that's available that can really drive your mood. So, just don't grab a regular fluorescent light and hang it up there with all of the opportunities that are there. And then certainly introducing fabric and acoustic things within the area, maybe even weather stripping an interior door, not for wet weatherization as much as for soundproofing. So any of those things that you can knock some of that distracting sound down will certainly help a lot.
When we're thinking about creating a workspace that fosters productivity and creativity, Andrea, I wonder what's top of mind for you. Is it the lighting? Is it about having, a view that is appealing when you're working in that space?
I think that's important. I also think it's important to think about the type of job that you have. Is it really, really stressful? So maybe you want to surround yourself with calming colors. Is it boring? Are you sitting on a Zoom call all day and you're extremely bored? Then maybe you want more, colors around you that are more vibrant and exciting. I think that's one thing to consider at least.
And when we're talking about those colors, those color families of things that are more calm and things that are a little more vibrant, how are you defining those in your head?
Well, sure. I mean, obviously, the McDonald's colors, red and yellow together, are exciting colors. And then the calming colors are the blues and the greens. So pulling from nature. So, yeah.
We also heard from Elise in Brooklyn, who says she'll be moving from her one-bedroom apartment in New York to a three-bedroom home in another state. And Andrea, she's asking, what's the best way to plan interior design? Is it sketching, mood boarding, using Photoshop?
I would start with Pinterest or Houzz and just start tagging things that you like and, identifying how you're going to use the rooms, what they're going to be used for, and then start tagging things you like and kind of pick apart what it is that you like about a room. It might not be everything, but identify three things you like and then start to piece that together.
We got this question from Jennifer on Facebook, who says, is it safe to do major home improvement during COVID? For example, tearing down walls or bringing in contractors. My husband is high risk. Danny, how should people be thinking about this kind of project work and how it intersects with where we are right now in this pandemic?
Well, certainly when you're considering bringing or allowing anybody in your home, they need to make you feel very, very comfortable. I mean, outside a pandemic type of arrangement, you need to hear from a contractor that they're going to secure things every day. They're going to keep it clean, because that's the three most important words in remodeling is clean, clean, clean. So you want that comfort level even outside a risk situation like this. But now with this, that there needs to be another layer of assurance that all of the people there will, how they'll handle things, how they'll handle the wiping down all of the surfaces, the mask, and every aspect of that. If you're dealing with someone that's not addressing those things during this time, I would be very leery about having them in there. Now, however, construction people are construction people, and I've been in the business for over 40 years. They can be a bit stubborn or steadfast, as we say. So that has to be understood, that the policy that not just every now and then when we feel like it, but each time we come to your home, we will have a mask, we will have gloves, and we will be wiping down a certain part of it. That needs to be part of that comfort level that that contractor provides you prior to them committing to doing the work in your home.
Oh, we've heard from a number of people working in contracting. Michael from Tennessee emails, I feel embarrassed to say it, but as a remodeling contractor, I have never been busier. I was busy before the lockdown. Now things are practically out of control. Working 7 days a week, I am booked well into next year. The only fly in the ointment is the drastic increase in material prices. Plywood and studs have doubled in price since April. We also heard from Shauna, who tweets, my husband is a contractor and his jobs are booked 6 months plus out. Lumber prices have skyrocketed, some at 200% increase. There was also a shortage of treated lumber for a while. Denny, for contractors, we're hearing there's a lot of demand. There's also risks. How are contractors being impacted right now?
Well, quite a bit. And if they're not paying attention, they probably won't be around for very long. And even though you have the amount of work and the increase and the uptick in a lot of the remodeling projects, you can't get what you used to get as quickly as you can, because it's just unbelievable in this day and time where you're so used to getting things instantly brought right to your house. There are situations out there. I recently ordered some aluminum fencing, and I was told it was going to take 10 to 12 weeks to get this fencing, when normally it's 2 to 3 weeks, because of all kinds of factors, limited people allowed in the manufacturing facility to produce the products, and the popularity of the outside project. So a contractor really has to work a lot harder to ensure that delivery time on all of those items. And unfortunately, the pricing that was just mentioned from your emails, it's real. I mean, it's gonna be adjusted sooner or later, but right now, those prices have never been higher. So that's going to drive the cost up, make it harder to produce the work. So there's some frustration that's going to follow all of these trends.
We also got this email from Jean, who writes, my home's flagstone walk needed repair. I contacted several tradespeople in Charlottesville. It was a small job and was offered estimates for 3 to 4 months. I hit up YouTube and a friend with the proper tools. We completed the job in 1 hour and 40 minutes. In Charlottesville, Virginia, DIY feels like the only option for many tasks. It's certainly much cheaper and also rewarding. I'm curious, Danny, how do you assess whether this is a job you can take on yourself or if you really need to bring in an expert?
Well, I think, doing the research and getting, really looking at some real life videos, not those that kind of glaze over it, but practical things and projects, and looking at the tools required, the skill that's required, the time that's involved, and really, be truthful with yourself as far as those kind of things. Now, as a general rule, we always recommend electrical work, heating and cooling work. Let's stay with the professionals on that and whatever time you have to wait, because that's something, unless you're skilled in those trades and trained in those different areas, you just need to leave alone, because not only potential danger to yourself, but also damaging your home. So I think just a very straightforward, practical look at your abilities and time that you have available, that really will guide the projects that you need to take on yourself. But I'll tell you, I get so many emails and so many calls from people using the word empowerment, where they've tried a small project, maybe a friend of theirs helped them out on something, and it has just ignited this interest in different areas of the home. I love to see that, and it's a very, very healthy type of thing to have. But again, don't be too ambitious and be cautious about what you take on to make sure that you're going to fulfill it and make sure it looks like a pro did the work.
We also got this tweet from Hillary who says, please remind listeners to check what building permits might be required for projects. So important. Hillary, thanks for that message. I'm Jen White. You're listening to 1A. We're talking to Danny Lipford, host of the television and radio show Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, and Andrea Monith Schumacher, principal designer at Andrea Schumacher Interiors. We got this question from, let's see, Kristen. Well, actually from Josh, who says in Tulsa, who emails, I have the opposite of a green thumb, me too, Josh, but like live plants for aesthetic appeal and fresh ingredients for cooking. Any pointers from your guests on today's show? Andrea, I'm going to come to you first. Any advice for Josh here?
So opposite of planting it yourself, you can buy a plant, right? Go get basil from the store and have it in your window, and then you can pick from it and use it for cooking. Why not?
That's about as far as my green thumbing goes. So right. I'm going to take that one hard. Danny, what about you? Any advice for Josh?
Well, certainly, I'll tell you, the ma and pa type of nursery, they always have that person that can guide you through it and tell you what not to do. Because that's a lot of times, it's not what to do as much as not what to do as far as too much sun, too much water, that type of thing. And they also, and if you say, hey, look, I'm not really good at this, they're going to pick a hardy plant that is going to be pretty hard to kill. And then that makes you feel a lot better that you're able to do that. And they'll tell you how to plant it. So that's a great thing to use, one of the local nurseries, in order to help you through that hesitation that you may have if you have that brown thumb.
Well, and we also got this tweet from V. Stan that might provide some guidance. They say, I'm starting an indoor hydroponic garden to grow lettuce and other veggies and herbs through the fall, winter, and start seedlings in the spring. Some of them will be in mason jars. Doing the research and making a plan has been a lot of fun. So maybe that's an option as well. We got this very interesting message from Kristen, who writes on Facebook, I can't afford to remodel my home, but for my 57th birthday, I got the game Animal Crossing and have taken it upon myself to create an entire island to my liking. It is me. It is my personality. It is my taste. It's extremely calming and cathartic and has become a new hobby. Kristen, thanks for that message. You know, Andrea, when you think about just the creative part of imagining how you're going to redesign your space, even if you can't do it in that moment, is there something to be gained by that?
I think absolutely. Just playing around with the fun ideas of what could be. And you could slowly implement that over time, right? And you don't have to have it all at once. You could play around with Pinterest and create boards and, you know, start dreaming and then, you know, implement slowly.
Mm-hmm. You know, Danny, I'm thinking longer term. Do you think this is a blip in DIY and home improvement, or could we be seeing a permanent shift?
Well, I certainly think there will be a lot of residual effect to it. And I can go back to 08 and 09. None of us want to go back to that time in our lives. But what happened there was people were forced to do those repairs around their home because of the economic situation. You just didn't have that money to hire a lot of things done. So it forced people into the DIY projects and so forth to take care of things until times got better. Well, what happened there was a residual effect that they've shown that it increased the interest and increased the number of people that were actually doing those projects. Well, I feel the same thing's going to happen right now. You've been forced to a degree and encouraged to a degree to take on a lot of these things around the house. It's going to be, I think people are not going to be prone to pick up the phone and hire someone to take care of something for $300 or $400 when they can take care of it in 1 or 2 hours. So I think absolutely there's some residual effect to it, and we're going to see this continued stronghold in DIY and certainly home improvements in general by homeowners.
Well, we got this email from Jonathan, who's a contractor in North Carolina. He writes, building materials are not only about 30% more expensive in the last 6 months, but there's a sincere shortage of materials in the supply chain. In the last 3 months, my crew finds itself having to travel to as many as 3 different locations to find the materials for even one day's work. If any materials are left over, most, if not all of them, are unusable due to their poor condition. Are you seeing any creative workarounds to the supply issue, Danny?
Well, I think it's just planning ahead more and more, and certainly being more resourceful. And I mean, you know, doing a lot of that setup and finding these materials instead of having someone drive around town looking for them is certainly part of producing that job. But I'll tell you what, I really think this is a temporary thing. The supply and demand, it fluctuates. It always has in building materials. And I would say 60 days from now, this will be a moot point. I mean, that's just a prediction on my, just solely on my own. But manufacturers respond. They're getting back with full capacity in their factories and in the lumber mills. So I think we will see this, and of course, what that does will drive the cost down. So we're gonna get past this supply chain problem very quickly, and the price is going down. So we just kind of have to hang in there and be patient, do the best we can between now and then.
Well, one last email from Janelle in Cincinnati, who says, "This intersects with my job as a house cleaner. Please caution folks that they need to let their house cleaning crew know ahead of time when work has been done. It makes our job harder when we don't know." We've been speaking to Danny Lipford, host of the television and radio show Homeowner with Danny Lipford, and Andrea Monith Schumacher, principal designer at Andrea Schumacher Interiors. Thanks to you both, and thanks for all of your great questions and tips today. Remember to subscribe to the 1A podcast. It's where you'll find our best guests and stories every day. You can listen whenever you'd like and get it wherever you find your podcasts. Today's producer was Michelle Harvin. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Jen White. Thanks for listening. And let's talk again tomorrow. This is 1A.